Welcome to this episode of the We Travel There podcast. We're in Christchurch, Barbados, with my new friend Rakima McGlimph of BeWellTravel365.com. Rakima loves to travel, and she visited Barbados with her son for a wellness getaway. She loves the healing energy of the island and the amazing vibe of the people. In this episode, Rakima and I talk about exploring Harrison's Cave, visiting the Barbados Garrison, a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and touring St. Nicholas Abbey, one of the oldest buildings on the island. You hear about these three amazing experiences and so much more. If you know someone interested in visiting Barbados, I'd love it if you shared this episode with them. The show notes and our one-page guide to Rakima's tips are available at wetravelthere.com/Christchurch. Now let's get started. The We Travel There podcast helps you travel like a local by interviewing guests from around the world to uncover the hidden gems of their city by finding out the best things to do, eat, drink, and see from a local's point of view. Whether I'm traveling for business or pleasure, it's important to have clothes that make me look good and feel great. I wear Bluffworks jeans, slacks, dress shirts, and blazers because they're wrinkle-free and are designed for the modern traveler. And if they get dirty, a quick spin in the washing machine and they're good as new. Go to wetravelthere.com/Bluffworks for a special offer and to select from the latest styles so you can stay wrinkle-free when you travel. Hey, Rakima, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Today, we're talking about Christchurch, Barbados. Coming here on the East Coast after I've been living here now in Nashville for a little while, I've been learning about all these awesome islands in the Caribbean. I've heard so many great things about Barbados, but I haven't been there yet. So I'm glad to have you on the show to share all your tips before I book my trip.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited to chat about Barbados. I mean, it is hands down one of my favorite places in all of the islands. And so whatever I can be sharing, I'm super excited to do so.
Fantastic. So I know that you actually live like kind of in the DC area. What's your connection to Barbados and like how did you find Christchurch?
What's really interesting is I'm actually not or I wasn't connected to Barbados. My son and I, we have a history of putting a big world map on the wall and saying, close your eyes, put your finger somewhere. And that's where we're headed next because we love, love, love trying out new places, new cultures and so on. So my son, in the midst of right before COVID started getting really, really loud on us all, put his finger on Barbados. I spent him around three times. And when he put his finger on the map, it was Barbados. And I said, great, that's where we're headed to next. So it was a bit of an adventure for us originally. And when I went to go look up Christchurch, or not Christchurch, but Barbados writ large, some of the things that kept popping up is like, oh, different places across the island is for different vibes. To know my son and I, we are very like laid back, kind of easygoing, the everyday kind of person, right? Like we are not interested necessarily getting too luxury, too lavish, not interested in being too bushy, right? Like I'm not into running from mosquitoes all my life. and so I'm not going into great jungly, bushy areas. But that left the southern tip of Barbados, which is, you know, coast, beaches. But you're going to find more of a local, the local population there. And so so that's how we chose Christchurch.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I love it. It's one of those things where obviously when you're traveling to one of these places, you're on vacation, right? You want to be able to like relax and chill because we all work hard and everything like that. But also you want to be somewhat immersed in the local culture because you want to learn from the people. You want to meet people and you don't want to just do all the touristy things. You want to be able to just like hang out and like learn from people.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that's what Christchurch offered us, right? Going down to the south of Barbados, we were localized. You know, even when we went down there, the first time we were in Barbados, we decided on a hotel just to kind of, you know, scout out the place, figure out where we felt comfortable, what felt like our vibe. But ultimately, the second time when we finally moved there, we ended up actually getting into a 3-bedroom house on the beach.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, yep.
Yeah, right on. So, okay. So, based on the time you spent there, if you had to describe like the city or like the people in just a couple words, how would you do that?
Oof. Sweet, very open, super tolerant.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I'm just like imagining being on the beach because we're recording this in the wintertime and it's kind of chilly here and everything like that. And I'm just like, oh, I'd love to be able to stick my toes in the sand and just like hang out with a nice drink and watch the sunset and everything else.
That's right.
So, that's right. So, you know, obviously talking about the weather here, obviously if it's in the Caribbean there, the weather's pretty similar throughout the year, right? Like, are there certain times of the year that you recommend people visiting and any times that maybe you got the hurricanes and stuff like that, are they affected by hurricanes much in the Barbados or is it something that, hey, you can pretty much go any time of the year?
Barbados is typically unaffected, but from time to time, they do get hit with hurricanes. Like this year, this past year in 2023, they were hit by a hurricane. Not a really bad one, not the ones you see out in Puerto Rico and other places, but certainly more rain, right, that created some flooding. And to know Barbados is to know that, like, you know, the streets don't have a lot of drainage systems and stuff because they don't actually get tons and tons and tons of rain in that way. So, but they do from time to time get hit with hurricane, just not very frequently. And the first time I went to Barbados, I went in October, which was lovely because it was right, I guess it was headed into hurricane season or in the middle of hurricane season for the rest of the Caribbean. But they actually were experiencing much cooler weather. And so when I went the second time, I was so confused because I was like, wait a second. The second time I went in December. Now, to know about the weather patterns, December is actually the jump start to their tour season. It's also their summertime. If you thought that 70 degree, 80 degree with a breeze was hot, they actually consider that cold. You'll see people walking around with long sleeves on in 75 and 80 degree weather, talking about how chilly it is, right? So in December, about December through March is tour season. That's when you're going to see some of the highest temperatures. And it's going to get up to 90, 100 degrees. And then one thing to consider about that time is that Barbados is actually 14 degrees away from the equator. So that temperature feels different. Also, you know, 90 degree, you're talking 14 degrees away from the equator. You're also talking about humidity, deep, deep, deep humidity. So if you're me, I love it because I love the sun. I love the way it feels on my skin. It doesn't treat me the best though, because I do get sunburned. But if you're my son, you came home with like this beautiful brown skin where he's tanned like no other. It was nice. But yeah, it's definitely pretty warm December through March and less warm September, October, November. And because, like I said, they don't get hit with hurricanes very regularly. If you're someone that is not really interested in like super, you know, just warm environments, that's a good time to go. September, October, November. If you don't mind the sun and you're ready to get live and get, you know, having a lot of good fun, then December through March for sure.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I'm bald, so going anywhere in the Caribbean, like, man, I have to like lather up big time on the sunscreen because the sun hits different. So are there any like festivals or annual events that maybe somebody wants to plan their trip around attending one of those?
Yeah. I mean, they have lots of different things. Their biggest thing is crop over though. And so, you know, that's a big celebration. It's the end of harvest season. It comes directly out of slave experience or slave past. And so the island just gets really, really alive and they're celebrating. They are partying. I mean, partying like no other. And so for crop over, they change the dates, you know, over the course of years. It's never the same on any given year. But for example, this year, it's July 31st until August 6th, 2024. And it is literally 3 months long worth of festivals of Barbadian music, art, food, culture, all of the goodness. And this festival, it dates all the way back to the 17th century. That's how old it is. So if you're looking to do something that feels like it's latent in culture, latent in the history of the island, where everybody, it's not just, you know, the Black Bajans. You're also talking about the indigenous natives, the Arawaks, for example. You're talking about white Bajans that are there also. And then you see people from all over the Caribbean and all over the world that just comes together like a big melting pot. It's amazing.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Okay, so let's take a step back for a second. Like we said, like you're up there in the DC area. Obviously, you're flying down to Barbados. What airline would you recommend flying down there? And then from once you get to the airport there in Barbados, how do we get around? Do we take public transportation? Do we rent a car? Take like an Uber? Like what do we do?
So we have gone several airlines that going into Barbados. We absolutely, and when I say we, I'm talking about myself and my 12-year-old son. We absolutely love American Airlines and absolutely adore Air Canada. Now, the reason why is because they have more regular flights, cheaper flights, and they are available throughout the course of the year. Air Canada will give you even the shortest duration flights. So I know that seems a little strange to go up and then to go down, but it is absolutely worth it if you're talking about time saving and also not having more than one layover. So that's been great. The other thing is, so once you get into Barbados, everybody has to do their online immigration experience. So you'll be downloading an application that is 100% just for going into Barbados. And then once you put in all of your immigration related information, you're going to get off that plane. And when you get to that airport, getting off that plane, you're not attaching to a building. You are walking downstairs and walking over into a building, right? And so if you are not Caribbean ready when you got on that plane, because remember, they love to freeze us out on planes, right? It's super cold. By the time you land, you are taking off that first layer so that you can be in your shorts and your tank tops, because you are going to want to directly into that heat. Once you go in the inside, they've got modern technology though, and it's pretty fast. I have never waited at the airport in Barbados for longer than a good 20 to 30 minutes. And that is getting off that plane, getting through immigration, getting my luggage. They are pretty, pretty efficient. They have machines where they will ask you to go back through and just make sure that you are, you know, adding in children as part of your immigration experience. And then you have people who are working in those airports who are directing you 100% of the way. The good thing for us is that we're not going when they're being very strict about COVID, because my son and I were traveling during COVID. And when you get to the Bajan airport, they are like, no, let us see your vaccination status. Let us see that you just had a negative test, because they didn't want the island to get saturated with COVID. Because if to know Barbados, it only takes 3 hours to get from one side to the next. 280 something thousand people there. You're talking about something that could have spread like wildfire. So they were very, very good about keeping everybody safe and making sure people were clean. You're going to find sanitation stations still in the airport. And you are going to find a lot of folks who are just trying to get you in and get you out. So that to me felt like a stark difference from what some of the other islands that we've been to, where you could literally be in that airport for 3 hours.
Yeah. I mean, as much as we love those countries and the flying and everything like that, I want to be on the beach, not in the airport.
That's right.
So we have our e-visa that we got to handle with the immigration papers and everything like that. Obviously, we've got to have a passport when we travel there. I know some countries require like shot records and those type of things. Do we have any of that we have to be worried about?
Nope, you're not worried about that. You're not worried about malaria. You're not worried about any of that. You will need to see a travel doctor, because anytime you go into the Caribbean, they do want you to do things like take a yellow fever shot, you know, be mindful of Hep A, right? And so those are very rudimentary. Whenever we travel, we always go with a diarrhea kit also, because we don't drink the water. But naturally, when you're eating out, you're certainly eating whatever they prepared that food in. And so we do take a diuretic kit. And then we also bring one dosage of some level of antibiotic in the event we have some illness that comes through. This came up because when we travel, sometimes when we swim in the swimming pools and in the ocean, our eyes may get infected with like sand or sort of something always gets us. So we never leave without a Z-Pack also. That's a big thing for us.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so from the airport getting to the city and traveling around, do we need to rent a car? Do we take public transportation? Do we like use Uber? What do we do for that?
Yeah, that's right. So if you're me, you're probably hiring a private car. We work with a group called Exquisite Travel. They are amazing. And so this is for your traveler that likes to ride in style, maybe someone who's interested in the BMW Mercedes experience. We are definitely fans of those types of vehicles when we're in country. If that's not your style, because it's not for everybody, Barbados also has public service vehicles. They're called PSVs. They are at the airport, and you can also take route taxis, or we call them ZRs, but they are ZR buses, which essentially is the bus that all the locals use to get around also. They're like white little minivans, and they literally zoom through the place, honking at people, picking up people along the way. So a ZR is not something I would get on if I was time sensitive, for example, because they're going to pick up any and everybody who's on the sides of the road that needs a ride, right? So you can definitely do a taxi. You can also do a group, like a private car service, like Exquisite Travel.
Okay. Okay. And then do they even have like Lyft or Uber there?
They do not. Absolutely not. No Lyft, no Uber. So you definitely want to get an airport taxi. If that's not your comfort, you can always ask for recommendations. When we rented out our Airbnb for the first time ever, we asked, who do you work with? Who do you trust? Who do you know will get us to and from? And so we met a gentleman called Wayne, who is our other taxi person that we ride with when we are not interested in fancy travel. He will come pick you up, you know, as an individual person at any time of the day or hour, right? So make sure that you're asking people who have either been, or if you're staying in a B&B, ask them for recommendations for their, you know, someone that they trust for transportation. And if you don't have that and you stay in a hotel, you can equally ask the same. Almost every taxi person is going to give you their phone number so that if you need a ride, you can always reach them once you've created that rapport, mostly because that island is 100% tourism.
Oh, okay. Okay. So speaking of that, like with your phone, like, you know, obviously your phone's from America. From there, like, is Wi-Fi and cell phone service easy accessible, or is it something where you're kind of searching around trying to find a signal?
Well, they have a lot of communal environments that has 4 and 5G. They're one of the only island places that actually has 4 and 5G across the entire island. So any eatery, you're going to find it. Any cafe, you're going to find internet. Sometimes even at the bus stops, you're going to find internet. I couldn't rely on that because my cell phone provider was being a little janky. And so I was trying to tap into other people's internets. And in fact, I ended up using the hotspot because for whatever reason, my phone, my cell phone line wouldn't attach to the internet when I was out. If you have WhatsApp, you literally will have access to it for every restaurant, every cafe. So just make sure that you, before you go, you have a list of cafes and stuff that you know that you'll frequent or you'll go to, because that will guarantee internet, even if the internet wherever you're staying is down. I have had some of the worst internet in 5-star hotels there, right, than I have even at the cafes down the way.
Oh, sure, sure. So speaking of that, like, as far as like, if you're taking one of the taxis or, you know, taking the Zdar or, you know, eating at some of these restaurants, do they accept credit cards, or is it something where you need to get some of the local currency to be able to pay for everything?
Yeah, so they absolutely take the local Bajan dollar, but they also take American dollars. And not only do they take American dollars, they do take credit cards. They do not take American Express, though. So we're talking Visa, MasterCard. Taxis do not take credit cards at all, though. You will 100% be cash on taxis.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, let's talk about, as far as like you mentioned being able to stay at condos and those type of things. So it sounds like you're more like the Airbnb or like local like condos and everything type of stay versus I use a lot of airline miles and hotel points when I travel. I was actually looking up some of the hotel options there through our partner, Aways. And it was interesting. I saw that there was actually 8 Marriotts, 2 Hiltons, and 1 Fairmont. So there's a lot of options,
yeah,
but there's no Hyatt or IHG. So if you have those points, you're not going to be able to redeem them there. And what I saw that was really cool is there's a bunch of all-inclusive. So if you're looking to find something that's a little more budget-friendly, you know, that way all your food and activities are taken care of. Yeah, some of these all-inclusives are pretty fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, and the funny thing is that, so I did a tour of all of the top hotels when I was there. So when that's why I was laughing when you mentioned the Fairmont and some of these other places. We actually stayed at the Crane Hotel when we first got there because that hotel is perched off of a cliff. It's got a private beach. And, you know, we thought this is a great place. It's right down the way from the airport. It's a great place to sort of offshoot originally into Barbados. After that, though, when we did our tour of the different hotels, there were a couple of them that just stood out for me personally. So there's one called the Bougainvillea Barbados, which is a beautiful, beautiful hotel. It's right in the south. It's in Christchurch. It's within walking distance to the Zadars. It's also beach access, like on the beach, low-key localized environment. As soon as you walk out of there, you're right back into the local environment. And so I loved that hotel. I love the aesthetics. The Seabreeze Beach House was also a really good one. Sandals, if you're a Sandals person, Sandals Barbados is pretty lit. It's pretty awesome. And then like if you don't need to stay at a hotel and you want something more like a condo or like, you know, a local environment, but not necessarily a beach house, right? Because the condominium community also rents out their homes as vacation homes, but it's within, you know, secured environments. Oftentimes it's near the embassy, right down the way from walking to the nearest cafe and or their pharmacy type environments, right? Type stores. Palm Beach Condominiums is a place that we stay almost all the time because it's right on the beach. We can get access to things. Even our drivers can come in there. They've got security that once they get to know you, everything is within reach. So there are lots of housing options. And even if that price point is too expensive, they definitely have places where you're just renting a room, for example. So there's a little bit of everything for everyone there.
because that's almost like the old school Airbnb where you're just like renting somebody's bedroom or their couch or whatever.
That's right.
Let's talk about some of the best things to do in Christchurch and Barbados. Like you, I travel with my kids a lot. I saw there was like this place called the Graham Hall Nature Sanctuary. That seems like a fantastic experience as far as being near all the animals and everything.
Yeah. I mean, they've got nature sanctuaries. They've got lots and lots of old churches. You can go snorkeling and on catamarans any given day, literally. The thing that we spent a lot of time doing was my son actually was taking surfing lessons. Who knew? So we were at a place called Dread or Dead Surf Shop down in the south, again, in Christchurch. Everything is on that main street. Dread or Dead Surf Shop. We took lessons with a guy called Matthew. Matthew actually used to be a professional surfer 25 years ago.
Wow.
So you'll find gems like that throughout all of the things to do there too. The other thing that we did was that we joined. So they have the cruising club and they have the yacht club. We are not yachters, but the cruising club is somewhere where you're going to find local expats. The kids can all learn how to sail. And it's just another way to enjoy the island, but doing a different kind of activity. You're going to find lots and lots and lots of catamaran opportunities. We love the catamarans because the kids can go snorkeling, right? They can party like rock stars on these boats. And then, you know, one thing that was unsuspecting that I hadn't even thought about was we did a lot of tennis there. Tennis is really big in Barbados. And so anywhere and everywhere you go, people are offering tennis lessons. Now, we did our tennis lessons through the Barbados Tennis Association, and that was amazing because there are kids who are coming from everywhere. Localized kids, expat kids, doesn't matter. Everybody is learning tennis techniques and stuff together, and that was really great. In terms of like tours, you know, we did Harrison's Cave, for example. My son's not really into the cave experience, but I thought it was pretty neat. And then, you know, local farmers markets, lots and lots and lots of farmers markets where you're going to find the locals have, you know, made things like cocoa butters and, you know, localized foods, breadfruit puddings. And so the things that you're really yearning for as you start to immerse in an environment that you're unfamiliar with, the local farmers markets tends to be a really great place to get that started also.
No, absolutely. And it's also great to support the local business owners and farmers and everything like that. And you're getting fresh fruit and veggies, you know, so it's good on all fronts, right?
That's right. I mean, one other place I almost forgot is a place called Oyston's Fish Fry. Every Friday night in the South, in Christchurch, they have a major fish fry. Any and all the fish you want, all kinds of stuff being fried up, all kinds of vendors, all kinds of music. And it is approved for children also, where you're eating and drinking and hanging out with locals again. So it's a nice party scene without the capital P.
No, absolutely. Yeah. The kids will get into that eventually. Let's delay that for as long as possible, right?
That's right. No capital P's for the children.
Yeah. So I was looking at it because like whenever I travel with kids, you know, I want them to have fun, but I also want it to be a little educational and stuff like that. And I found that there's a handful of really interesting museums and galleries and stuff like that that are in Barbados that seem like they'd be like a great opportunity to learn about the culture and the history of the island. So there's like the Barbados Museum and Historical Society. There's the Barbados Garrison, which is like, you know, the kind of like a military, and it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. There's the Arlington House Museum, which is like a restored 18th century mansion, which is really interesting. And then there's the cricket legends of Barbados. Yeah, I'm really into sports. So it's, you know, we don't really play a lot of cricket here in the US, but you know, it's a little more popular, kind of like we mentioned with tennis. Cricket's also really popular down in that area as well.
That's right. I mean, the other two that I'd probably thinking about is the Caribbean Wax Museum. I think the kids really usually get into that. And so that's in Bridgetown, actually, which is in, you know, in Christchurch. And then they've also got the Exchange Museum, which is for, you know, people like me. I'm totally into this kind of stuff. My son used to actually go over to the garrisons all the time because at the same place, you'll also find that they train horses there. And those horses that they are training over there actually go over to a place called Carlisle Bay and they go swim in the water every morning. And so it's just really beautiful to see.
Oh, that's really awesome. I mean, it's horses get hot too, right? So they're like, hey, I'm gonna go dip my toes in the water and cool off.
That's right. And they're bathing the horses like that, right? Like, even if you get up early morning, you'll always find folks out there just kind of, you know, frolicking. But it's a sight to see, because I before having seen it there, I'd never seen horses frolic in the water before.
That is really awesome. And it's one of those things that's almost like very pure, you know, right? Just like They're playing around, you know, and they're just enjoying themselves. And you're like, man, I wish I could be doing that myself.
That's right. So,
now, you mentioned like the Oysters Fish Fry. What are some of the other restaurants we should hit while we're there?
Oh my goodness, they have so many. We've got a couple of favorites because we've tried them all. When I tell you all, we have literally tried to get to them all. So my son's favorite place is Tapas. Tapas is right on the ocean also, again, in Christchurch, right on the same drag. Tapas, you can get anything from shark bites to basic hamburgers. They have the best hamburgers on the entire island, though, let's be clear. But it is ran by a Portuguese family. They are lovely humans. It is delicious. The second one I would probably name is a place called Nauru. I feel like we pretty much lived at Nauru. My son is a huge sushi enthusiast, so we were just smitten with the idea of being able to eat that there. And then a place called Art Splash, which basically, because I am more of the health person in our family, but they've got acai bowls, they've got your salads, they've got all of that kind of like West Coast vibe, like turmeric kind of stuff. That's where you're going to find it at Art Splash. Art Splash also has one of the only playgrounds on the entire South Coast. And this is a really important thing to note. Barbados doesn't have a lot of outdoor playgrounds. The one that they have at Acre Beach, that's literally one. And then they've got a place called Chefette, which is kind of like a KFC for Barbados. And they have an indoor play center, but the only other outdoor one is at Art Splash. So if you're coming with kids, Art Splash is going to be your thing because they've got your finger foods. They've got a little bit of everything, including local dishes. But they also have stuff that feels familiar to folks who are coming from North America. And they have that park, and they also do summer camps too. So it's just a really great place to know.
Oh, they got it all. I mean, that's like a it's like a Swiss Army knife of entertainment and food.
That's right. That's right.
Well, right on. Well, Rakim, I really appreciate you sharing all these amazing tips for Christchurch and Barbados. I learned so much, and it seems like such a fun island. But now it's time for the final countdown. If somebody only had time for one meal when they visited, where should they go and what should they eat?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going back to Tapas. I know that they have a ton of ones that they like to put out there, but Tapas is my favorite. I would try the shark bites. I would also try, you know, they've got calamari, and I would do probably one of the local stews there.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, because, you know, when it gets so cold at 70 degrees, right? you need a hot stew to be able to warm back up.
That's right. But they are known for really good stews, though, so.
Well, right on. Well, like I said, you've been there, you know, numerous times and spent a lot of time there with your son and traveling. What's one of the most memorable stories of being there?
Oh, my goodness. I think the day that kid stood up on his surfboard is probably the thing I'll always remember. He was so afraid to get out there. And he has a gymnastics background, but he was like, I belong under the water, not on top of the water. And the day that guy came flying through, and he was literally surfing next to Matthew, the guy I was telling you about, the surf teacher. And they came and they're giving me the like, you know, what's up? Like, we're coming for you. They rode all the way to the sand. And I think everybody on that beach cheered so loud for them because they had seen them working for weeks and weeks on trying to get him to stand up. So that's probably my favorite amazing. Memory.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of those things, like as a parent, like it's just, you see your kids struggle sometimes as they're trying to learn something new and everything. And
that's right.
And getting them up to that point where they get that success. I mean, that's just like the best feeling in the world.
That's it. That's right.
Well, speaking of good times and happy memories, where's the happiest happy hour in Christchurch?
That's a really good question. I'm going to say, Bubba's is a really good place to go. I love, love, love Bubba's. Bubba's is like a sports enthusiast kind of environment, though. So if you're someone who loves to watch the games and stuff, it almost gives me Buffalo Wings, Buffalo Wild Wings kind of vibe. Bubba's is a really good one to think about. I would also think about On the Bay or like Cafe Luna.
All right. It's good to have multiple options, right?
That's right.
One of the things I always do whenever I travel is check out the local pizza. So where's the best place for pepperoni pizza in Barbados?
Hands down, Mamma Mia, Italian Deli, and Pizzeria. Hands down. It's in Bridgetown. It has the best pizza ever that we have tried in the whole Caribbean.
Nice. It's always interesting. Sometimes you go to a place and it's like they just slap a couple of ingredients together. And I'm like, look, I'll eat pizza pretty much anywhere. And pizza's always good. But sometimes it's like, it's less good. I'll just say that.
They're doing weird stuff, right? The sauce is sometimes sweet. The stuff they put on top is a little tragic. But Mamma Mia's, they definitely got it down there. We tried them and we tried Zaccheo's. But Mamma Mia's is definitely the best.
All right. Well, I know that you've traveled almost the entire world. I mean, we're in the triple digits of places that you've traveled to, right? So with all that travel and you're traveling with your son, and I know right now you're traveling with your father as well, you must have amassed some like really good tips. So what's one of your best travel tips?
Yeah, I mean, my best thing is just do the research before you get there. Get to know the people before you get there. One of the things that I don't like doing is flying blind, going into countries without knowing anything about where I'm going or like its history. I find that people are so excited when they hear you speak about things as if you have actually become a student of their culture, of their society, of their languages. Even in this moment, you know, one of the things that I've been doing is trying to work on my language experience, because when you're going into environments that don't speak English, actually it's a sign of respect to try, right? And so knowing that certain cultures, you know, that's some of the things that they look forward to in terms of, you know, how excited are you to be in our environment as opposed to making us adjust to you as a tourist or a visitor, I think it's just really beautiful. So do the work. Look it up. Look up those places that, you know, if your kid is like my kid and loves parkour, look up parkour. Look up parkour in every country you go to, right? If you want to try all the food, don't just do the like hotel tours. Also talk to the locals. Ask them, where are you eating at? Because I want to try that too.
Absolutely. I mean, those are great tips. I will say the other tip that you mentioned earlier about, you know, having like, you know, some of those like those medicines and those type of things is like the, just like a backstop, just in case something happens, always showing up prepared is another one that just, I think that's key, because there's nothing like ruining vacation by getting sick and not knowing where to get a treatment, or your insurance obviously doesn't cover you, or maybe you don't know how to read the language and like you're trying to figure out, okay, what is this medicine at the shop and will that actually do the things I needed to do, you know?
Well, we had that issue. We were out in Portugal and my son needed an inhaler. We forgot his inhaler back stateside. They didn't have the right inhaler. They didn't have the right medicine, not the same name, not the same composition. So we ended up having to cancel our trip early to go back home, because that was the first time ever that we realized, oh, wait, we are traveling with the idea that everybody has the same stuff. They don't. So bring your Benadryls, bring your, you know, medicines that you need, right? We carry antacids. We carry Tylenol at the degree, you know, at the milligrams that we need that to be. We carry extra stuff for allergies. We carry our own bug spray. Because the other thing you'll realize is that, you know, their bug spray has DEET in it. In America, they don't really sell bug spray with a lot of DEET in it. But they got DEET because those mosquitoes are resilient, right? And so,
oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, make sure that you do that and bring the things that you need and don't assume that they have everything you want. Because even the first time I went down, I even brought a couple of bags of like goldfish. I'm not sure that they have goldfish there, but I know my kid lives for it.
No, absolutely. Well, Rakima, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I've learned so much. And we feel like we're besties now.
That's,
you know,
right.
So, but can you tell the audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah. So, you know, my name is Rakima once again, and I do lots of things. You know, we hold wellness retreats all over the world, and we do that by way of travel because we believe that travel is wellness. You know, this is one thing that we believe allows for our minds to expand and to grow. And I believe that it helps us be better universal citizens to everybody. And when we're not doing that, we are helping people get into the travel mood. And so we run and own a travel franchise called Cruise Planners, to which we help people find cruises and hotels and flights and even build out itineraries. Like you said, Lee, we have gone to over 120 countries. And so what that means is that we have done a lot of research to figure out what's cool, what's in, what's not, what's fun, what's not. And we don't recommend anything that we haven't done ourselves. And so when we're not doing that, we're writing books. We published out, 2 years now, a book called Total Wellness, A Millennial and Gen Z Guide to Living a More Balanced Life. Again, I said that travel is wellness. This book takes into account all 8 pillars of wellness for those of us who are both looking to learn about how to stay well and have that agency to do that for ourselves, and for folks who are looking for additional examples of things that we can do in our everyday lives to continue to be well, either, you know, stateside or abroad.
That's fantastic. Well, if somebody has questions about your book, about Barbados, or any of the other places that you travel to, what's the best way to reach you on social media?
Yeah, so they can find us on Instagram. We are always on Instagram. And so that's going to be through the Be Well Travel 365 Instagram. And then if they need to reach out for any reason, we also have an email address that we can share with you and put in the notes for folks to be able to reach us also. And then for that book, it's on Amazon, it's on Barnes & Noble, it's all over the place. So lots of places to reach us.
Right on. Well, we'll definitely include links to all those in the show notes. And again, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and we look forward to seeing you when we travel there.
Awesome. Good to be on also. Thanks for having me, Lee.
What an awesome conversation with Rakima. After a cold winter, I loved to book a Caribbean getaway to Barbados to soak up the sun. You can find all the links we talked about and our one-page guide to Rakima's tips at wetravelthere.com/Christchurch. We want to say thank you to Bluffworks for being an affiliate partner in today's episode. Bluffworks offers many styles to fit your needs, so that way you can stay wrinkle-free while traveling. Go to wetravelthere.com/Bluffworks and use the promo code LEE to save 10% off your order. Join us next time as we head to Brașov, Romania, to speak with my new friend Marius Eliescu of RomanianFriend.com. In this episode, Marius and I talk about hiking Tampa Mountain, touring the Liberty Bear Sanctuary, and exploring the Rope Street Bastion. We hope you join us when we travel there. I love hearing your feedback about the show. Send me a tweet at WeTravelThere or email me at WeTravelThere.com/contact to share your thoughts. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and tell me what you like most. Make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast app. That way you won't miss any of our upcoming destinations.